We're ending our series this morning for 26 weeks. We've been going through the Gospel of Luke, and we call this series Follow Me and I Will Make You Fishers. And through the series, we've followed Jesus from Galilee through villages, through cities, into homes, across the Sea of Galilee, along the road to Jerusalem, into the upper room, through Gethsemane, to the cross last week, and finally to the empty tomb, which we talked about on Easter in Luke 24. But this series was never intended to simply teach us more about the Gospel of Luke. It was intended to teach us how to follow Jesus. Because Jesus did not call us merely to believe certain things about him. He called us to follow him. And when we follow him, he changes us. And then he uses us to reach others. And that's the promise contained in the words that have guided this entire series. Read it with me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, from Matthew. And Luke records Jesus saying something similar to Simon Peter. Read it. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. That is what discipleship is. We follow Jesus, Jesus makes us like him, and Jesus sends us to fish and catch people. Here's the big idea. Jesus calls us to follow him, forms us to become like him, and sends us to help others follow him. Here's the disciple-making focus. A disciple follows Jesus, becomes like Jesus, and helps others follow Jesus. And I love this part. Disciple making is not a program of the church. It is the calling of every follower of Jesus. So today, as we bring this journey through Luke to a close, I want us to remember three things Jesus has been teaching us. Number one, disciple makers follow Jesus. We follow Jesus. Everything begins there. Because before you can make disciples, you have to first be a disciple. And disciples follow Jesus. You can't make someone into something you're not. Jesus said, read it with me. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. We follow him. Throughout Luke, we have discovered that following Jesus means more than believing in Jesus. It means surrendering to Jesus. We follow all the time, whether it's convenient or not. We follow when we understand. We follow when we don't understand. We follow into the ordinary places of life, and sometimes we follow him into scary places. Recently, a team from our church followed Jesus all the way to Kenya. And while there, Ann Burns was asked to follow him into a women's prison and share her testimony. So I want to invite Ann up to tell us what happened. So Ann, come on up. Oh, here. No, you have to come up here. No. Right here. That's why I was hoping. Yes. Everybody wants to see and hear you. Right here, please. Now you just can get it over with, right? It's too sooner than later.
Wow. Okay, just pray, because this is hard for me. Okay, good morning, church family. Many of you know my journey of the last 4 years, the walk of grief following the murder of my son, Joey. It was a path I never chose to walk into, but one that God has used in many ways I never expected. As we were planning our mission trip to Kenya, we had an opportunity to speak at a woman's prison. And from what I learned, that doesn't come up all the time, okay? and do a personal testimony in Eldoret, Kenya. I immediately said yes, and if you know me, that's not like me, okay? I immediately said yes as I felt a connection in my heart. We traveled with Braden, my 16-year-old grandson, who accompanied all of us inside the prison compound. As I walked into the facility, I felt completely overwhelmed with what I was going to talk about. I realized I was looking at approximately 300 women who were living a life very similar to the woman who currently is serving time for my son's death. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit took that weight away and carried me through every word I spoke. I shared the hardest thing I ever had to do, choose forgiveness. And just to let you know, I've never done a testimony, so this was the first in the prison. As I spoke to the women there, I told them how important it was to me that bringing Jesus back into my life on a daily basis was the only way I survived living these last 4 years, and that Jesus is the only way they would find true freedom behind those bars. The room went still. I could feel that quietness. Every woman there was listening to my every word. I saw faces in awe and eyes filled with tears of compassion. Afterwards, Braden told me that he didn't know my complete story. He's like 12, so we didn't need to share a lot with him, but hearing it there in that place of radical grace meant the world to me. I know now that my sole purpose or ministry for the mission trip was to be in that room so those women and Braden could see that if I could forgive someone who hurt me so deeply, so could they. When I walked out of that prison, my heart was lighter, and I was filled with an overwhelming feeling of healing. This experience has completely changed my outlook on life. I see now that God placed me there, because in the beginning, I wasn't going. So it's interesting how it played out. I see now that God placed me there not just for my own peace, but to strengthen. Where's my last page? But to strengthen our international relationships and prove that the bond we share with other fellow believers transcends every border. I leave you with Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Thank you for your prayers and support that led me to this healing.
Thank you. You did a great
job. My Kenya dress.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a beautiful dress. Thank you, Anne. It is healing to share a testimony. And Anne followed Jesus first to Kenya and then into a prison. Isn't that interesting? You know, Jesus never hid the cost of discipleship. He simply just kept saying, "Follow me." And Peter stumbled, and the disciples misunderstood. They failed, they argued, And they became afraid, but Jesus continued forming them as they continued following him. And he does the same with us. Disciple making begins with a disciple who is following Jesus. So as we come to the end of the series, the first question is simple. Am I following Jesus? Not merely attending church, not merely believing Christian doctrine, not merely calling myself a Christian. Am I actually following Jesus? And here's one way you know. When you follow Jesus, your life will often be a little uncomfortable and incredibly joyful at the same time. You'll meet people you never would have met. You'll do things you would have never done, and you'll go places you would have never gone. Amen? Because following Jesus doesn't leave you where he found you. He keeps calling you forward. And the question is whether we will keep saying, yes, Jesus, I follow you. The second thing for today is disciple makers become like Jesus. We follow Jesus, we become like Jesus. Now, Jesus didn't simply say, follow me. He said, follow me and I will make you. Make you. That means that he intends to change us. Luke records those words. Read them with me. Everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. That is the goal of discipleship, to become like our teacher. Throughout Luke, we have watched Jesus. We watched him pray. We've watched him trust his Father. We've watched him obey, forgive, serve, show compassion. We watched him touch people others avoided. We watched him welcome sinners. We watched him notice people everyone else overlooked. And we also watched him surrender his will to the Father. And ultimately, we watched him give his life. That is the Jesus we've been following. And that is the Jesus we are becoming like. Discipleship isn't simply learning more information about Jesus. It's becoming more like Jesus. We follow, he forms. We surrender, he transforms. Little by little, the disciple becomes to look more like the teacher. Two people I've watched become more and more like Jesus are Mike and Shauna Pickle. And recently, they followed Jesus to Kenya and led their team remarkably well. God used them to help others follow Jesus. So I want to invite Mike, Shauna to come and share what God did through their experience. Yeah.
Pastor David told us to keep these testimonies to 3 to 4 minutes. And if you've ever talked to me about our experiences in Kenya, you know that is nearly impossible for me. I can go on for hours and hours about our trips. That's why I'm glad we have our debrief meeting on Wednesday night. Please come and hear the whole story. See all the pictures and all that good stuff. When I think about discipleship, I think about growth. A green shoot becomes a branch with eventually green shoots of its own. The disciples grew throughout their time with Jesus. Simon went from a rough and tough fisherman to Peter, the rock. Matthew went from a wealthy tax collector to the writer of one of the Gospels. And I'm thinking he probably wasn't very wealthy after that. When I think about our most recent trip to Kenya, I also think of the word growth. I witnessed so much growth, both in our team and in the people we came into contact with while we were in Kenya. I saw Anne grow so much in her faith leading up to our trip. She became more focused on prayer, and even though there was a ton of spiritual warfare in her family leading up to the trip, she never wavered on going to Kenya. When she heard we were going to be ministering at a woman's prison, she quickly and happily volunteered to give her testimony there. I can tell you that she made a real and lasting impact by sharing her testimony with those women. I was watching their faces and I saw it. The ladies in Kenya have a way of doing this teeth-sucking thing when something affects them. They go, and every woman in that room went, and then it was amazing. I didn't know how Braden would react to being called on to give his testimony. You guys probably know how shy he is, but I watched him grow so much on this trip. He shared his testimony three times. Two of those times were to children who were impacted by alcoholism, severely impacted. He was the perfect person to share his story with those children. It was a real blessing to me and to the Lord as well. As I watched him interacting with those little boys who were glued to his side the entire time we were there, my heart was bursting with happiness. We were told that we needed to have a couple of messages to share while we were there. And as the only adult male on the trip, this task fell to Mike. Mike has given his testimony many, many times, but he's never preached a message before. I think he was a little overwhelmed at this prospect, but he rose to the occasion. He spent weeks researching and writing these messages. He preached both Sundays and did an excellent job. The Sunday message was very powerful. I loved watching the people in the congregation taking photo of the slides to look at later. I was very proud of him. And I found myself very grateful for my biblical knowledge because I was often called on to share Bible stories with the many children we encountered. It is very helpful to know the story of Zacchaeus and Jesus walking on the water, and Jesus feeding the multitudes, etc., especially when you're called on without warning to share. We experienced so much growth preparing for and while on this trip. God was glorified, and that is all that matters.
Genesis 1, 26 through 27 tells us that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. And in Revelation 5, we see all of heaven and creation praising God and the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And then it says that every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea says, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And then 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8 talks about the Christian virtues. That's a long verse, so I'll let you guys look that one up, but it's great. And then the book of Philemon, even a little bit longer, but only a page and a half. The love of Jesus, when administered by one disciplined in the Lord, breaks down unhealthy barriers between master and servant to allow true understanding of God's design for relationships. These were the verses of teaching and training that the Holy Spirit gave me for the Kenya mission trip. And there was an unusual amount of surrender necessary to keep peace within myself during this mission trip. I think that was because I had high expectations of what God was going to do through our team. But as things unfolded, I was continuously reminded, in a good way, that Jesus was in complete control all the time, which is a good thing. Whether it was the waves and the smiles from the people when we were out in public, because they always loved the waves to the Mzungus, or the deep spiritual conversations with the staff at ELI and the people of peace in the community, I always felt that God was right there with us. Peter was our main handler at the ELI campus, and Dennis was in charge when we were out meeting people, the people of peace in the community. Those two are mighty disciples and true examples of godly men. We always felt well cared for and perfectly safe while with the ELI staff. Kenya itself was breathtaking. It is truly one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. But it is also one of the most strikingly different places that I've ever experienced. Rural Kenya seems to almost be pre-industrial. So much is still done by hand, yet everyone has current technology. It's a strange mix of a very old environment with modern convenience. I highly recommend that you go to Kenya, but I also suggest that you not go on your own. Partner with a Christian organization like ELI. That way, you are able to connect with people of peace along your journey, which is important when you're in a strange land. Jesus loves you. And come hear all about our mission trip on Wednesday night right here, starting at 6:30 if you're hungry, at 7 if you're not, but be here nonetheless. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike and Shauna. Now as Tom adjusts the camera down. So here's the second question. Am I becoming more like Jesus? The first question was, am I following Jesus? Am I becoming? Because after 26 weeks in Luke, after another year of following Christ, does my life look more like Jesus than it did before? When we first, a long time ago, we did a study through Luke, I called, do you look like Jesus? Do I love more like Jesus? Do I serve more like Jesus? Do I see people, other people, the way Jesus sees them? Because Jesus didn't call us simply to know him. He called us to become like him. And the third thing we're going to talk about today, we're going to end with disciple makers fish for people. Fish for people. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers. So that means following Jesus eventually turns our attention outward. Because that is where Jesus was always looking. Throughout Luke, Jesus was constantly moving towards other people. The poor, the broken, the outsider, the sick, the forgotten, the religious, the irreligious, the tax collector, the sinner, the person everyone else would write off. Why was Jesus doing that? Because Jesus tells us, read it with me. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Thank you, Jesus. He came looking for people. And if we follow Jesus long enough, we will eventually find ourselves looking for people too. That is why disciple making has been woven through this entire series. And if you're sick of it now, wait till the next series. Because that is the theme that I want to get into my head and my heart. And this is what it is. Every disciple is called to be a disciple maker. Every disciple is called. How do we know that? Because Jesus said, go and make disciples. Argue with him. And you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't even have to have that all the answers. You just simply follow Jesus, and then you help someone else follow him. And then they help someone else follow them. That is what multiplication looks like. And one of the people I've watched live out this plan so well is Jalen. So I'd like to invite Jalen to come up and share.
Hi, church family. How are we doing? Okay. I'm just going to share the lessons that the Holy Spirit has just written on my heart and how he's had me move. Okay? Be open to the unexpected. And expect the unexpected with God, okay? He's really pounded on me this week of, he is greater and bigger than anything I can even think or imagine, and yet I don't expect for him to surprise me, right? Surprise me with people and relationships that I get to experience, rooms that he gets to put me in, right? If I am a disciple and if I am aligned with the Lord, I should be expecting to be used. I should be expected to be put in rooms where we get to speak. The Lord says, open your mouth and I will fill it, right? This isn't our wisdom, it's the Lord's, right? So if I can and we can align ourselves to that truth of, okay, Lord, thank you for the breath in my lungs. I guess you want me to speak today and just go. That has worked wonders, truthfully, okay? The disciple maker that I have met and who I have had the pleasure of growing a relationship with, I met in an elevator. Fun fact about Jalen, if we're in an elevator, I'm gonna talk to you. If we get stuck, you're stuck with me. And I met him and his partner a couple years ago when I first moved out here, actually, in another apartment building. So when I moved into my new one, again, in the elevator, we reconnected. And we started seeing each other in the gym and started seeing this and started building a relationship. Right? I got to know him. He started sharing himself with me. I got to share myself with him. The Holy Spirit is something we have in common. Right? He confessed that Jesus is Lord. Praise the Lord. And we've had the opportunity to sharpen each other. Right, the verse that I read to you guys last week is Luke 10:2-3. He told them, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves." That verse me and him have talked about, and it's been very abrasive to me. This is kind of a verse that I think about a lot in regards of what I'm going to go do, the work. You know, what am I going to face? But he reminded me that people out there want what the Lord is. They want joy. They want peace. They want kindness. They want what we can bring. Not everyone is going to try to be wolves to us and treat us like prey. And in that, that has been a off my shoulders of one, that's facts. Two, I have the Lord as my strength. The Lord is someone I can lean on. And if I am getting beat up, he's going to heal me, right? He's going to one that's going to redeem that whole situation. So it's been a beautiful full circle of experiencing how just being Jalen has allowed a relationship to grow. And then in that, the Lord speaks. The Lord does the work. The Lord fishes, right? I'm just happy to be able to cast a net, to be of help, right? And in that, the Holy Spirit has been the main thing. He has been the teacher. He's taught me. He's taught him. He's sharpening us both, right? This is a dual action, simultaneous interaction between me, the Lord, and him. And he's going to go make disciples, right? Pastor David said and knew exactly what my heart needed to hear, right? When he fished for me, him and the Holy Spirit. He opened his mouth and the Lord filled it. And here I am, praise the Lord. Amen. And now I get to go do the same, right? And it's not, when I was thinking about what he was talking about, it wasn't like my whole being was in agreement with what he said. There wasn't like I had to think about anything. The Holy Spirit knew exactly what needed to say to Jalen. It was a full tailored conversation. And that is exactly the words that our new disciple, our new brother in Christ, said to me. He says, it feels like it's tailored to me. It's insane. He says, everything you're saying is helping me daily, daily. And it's just like to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit working and watching him heal and save, it's been an honor. And yeah, praise the Lord. And just allowing the Holy Spirit to work, allowing the Holy Spirit to teach me, because who am I? I'm nothing but a sinner, right? He's the glorious God. He's the teacher. He's the one that makes me worthy. He's the one that can glorify me and make me worthy of being used. So he gets all the glory. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Jalen is a very unusual young man, and I mean that in a positive way. He's very disciplable, very teachable. He likes hanging out with older people. But he gets it. He gets it. And it's funny you mentioned Luke 10:2, because I was going to try and add that in here, but I didn't see where it fit. The harvest is plenty, the workers are few. My disciple maker that I've been learning from, he sets an alarm at 10:02 every day. It's the Luke 10:2 alarm that reminds him to pray that God would lead him, because the harvest is plenty, the workers are few. So I'm going to start doing that. I want to share something that's super important, and it's this. Success is not simply how many disciples are made. Success is how many disciples are making disciples. For most of my Christian ministry life, I made disciples, but I wasn't intentional. I wasn't as intentional as I could have been. I figured, hey, you know, some of the churches I was sitting, some of the worship teams, I had hundreds of people. I'm like, great, got 100 disciples. I look back, how many of those are making disciples? How many of those disciples? So I switched. This is my theme. Success is how many disciples are making disciples. That's success. That's how I want to end my life. making disciples will make disciples. Jalen is an example of that. I'm discipling Jalen. He's discipling others, and so forth. And I meet regularly with Jalen and Shauna now, who are, I feel, the leaders for this disciple-making movement. And I pray that our whole church gets it. I hope you do. But it's not about waiting for people to come here. It's going out there, right? And having spiritual conversations. Now Luke's gospel comes to its conclusion. Jesus tells disciples that the message of repentance and forgiveness will now be proclaimed to all the nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. So the gospel doesn't end with disciples staring at Jesus. It ends with the disciples being sent by Jesus. So here's the third question. Who am I helping follow Jesus? And now I want to open that question up to all of you. As we come to the end of this journey through Luke, think about this. How has Jesus challenged you, changed you, or used you to help someone else follow him? Maybe Jesus changed you to surrender something. Maybe he changed something in your heart. Maybe he restored something. Maybe he convicted you. Maybe he taught you to trust him. Maybe he brought someone into your life. For me, he made it very clear that I need to be more intentional about making disciples who make disciples. Maybe he gave you an opportunity to help someone else take another step toward him. We spent 26 weeks talking about what happens when people follow Jesus. Now I'd like to hear what Jesus has been doing among us. So at this time, I want to open up to open mic testimonies. And Shauna's in the back. If there's anyone in the back, Pastor Sam will be towards the front. So just lift your hand in the air and just share. You don't have to share a long story. Just share something brief about what God has done during this series that ministered to you and spoke to you in an encouraging way.
Well, I want to say just quickly, because this is for you, Pastor, and I hope this works right, but I want to speak to the men right here, because we've been having a lot of conversations lately with different groups of the men. So I want to ask you to do something. If you would say to Pastor today, yeah, you have been discipled here, and you've seen that growth, all the stuff that he said, and that you feel a commitment that this next year we're going to join together as a team, and we're going to make disciples. Men, if you could say that right now, would you stand right now just to show the pastor that we're on board? And I've seen this in you. I've had individual conversations, so I know this is true. So thank you, Pastor. We're behind you. We want to be part of this.
Thank you.
Amen.
Woo.
You can sit down. Now, the individuals testify.
Okay, stand up. Here we go. Thank you. This may not be quick, so just hunker down.
Well, we do have an offering to take later, so. Well,
it'll still be in your pocket. I gotcha. Anyway, well, hello, everybody. I think it's, I have been praying, Lord, I really want to share this, but when do I share this? And apparently now's the time, I guess. But when you guys were in Africa, I was moved to check out missionaries that have been to Africa. And, you know, I wouldn't have normally done that, but... So who do I fall upon but David Livingston? Are you anybody familiar with David Livingston? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are several things that were so pertinent to this man, and it's so interesting. He said, I don't want men who want to follow a road. I want them to build the road. I am not happy unless I am moving forward. Hello. You just said that this morning. I thought, oh, that's so interesting. So anyway, the things that I came away with from Mr. Livingston was several things. Number one, he, as a young boy who had a very Christian father, was in a church in the morning, cold, snowy, and there was a missionary there, and wouldn't you know, just older people were there. Just older people were there. And the missionary was kind of concerned because he was a missionary, and he's trying to gin up some people to come, you know, to be missionaries. He goes, "Who will go?" And from the back of the organ, David Livingston was back there pumping the billows. He says, "I'll go." And the man said again, "Who will go?" "I'll go." One more time, "Who will go?" "I will go." My heart started to beat a little bit on that. So as we move on, he says, "As far as I can imitate Christ, that's how I'm going to do this. As far as I can imitate him." He became a doctor. He says, "Jesus healed the sick. I can do that. I am going to imitate Christ." So that was one of the first things. So he goes on, and this man comes back many years later. So this is something to my journey today. He said he converted one tribe. He only ever converted one tribe. And so he went to the chief of that tribe, and he says, "You told me last night you were going to kill us. You told me you were going to kill us, me and my whole group of people. What happened?" And he says, "Well, we came. We were going to kill you." He said, "But there were 39 men standing around your camp. We could not touch you. We could not touch you." And he goes back to the sending church, and he's sharing this with the minister there. He says, "Yeah, 39 people, blah, blah. What day was that, David? What day was that?" He gave him the date, and the man goes to the diary, and he says, "On that day, 39 people were here, and they were praying for you." I thought, oh my. So even back in Victorian times, God was looking after us. Well, there is so much more, and I'm so sorry that I don't have the time to share that. But the man was became very sick. He was sick the whole time he was there. And at 60 years old, he had malaria and dysentery. And his men came in. And he says, "Just get me some water, I'm fine." An hour later, they returned, and he was on his knees in prayer, dead. So what to do? By then, he had become somewhat famous in England because he was an abolitionist. And he said, "I have got to do something for this open sore that is here in Africa." How telling, because here we are, and everybody's still bringing up slavery, still bringing up the past. I thought, wow, all right, Dave, all right. So they took his heart out, his guts, buried them under a tree in Africa, and he went home to England and is buried in Westminster Cathedral. So it's all that to say this. I said, there are things in our world that we will never be able to change, will not be able to change. We can't change it. Government can't change it. Nothing, fighting a war is not going to change it. It's not going to change. But what can I do? And I was very concerned. What can I do? There's got to be something I could do. And Jesus said, "You pray. You pray." And so my thought is, well, what mission? Field. What mission field? Walk out the door and turn left. And it's right there. Mm-hmm. So, family, I have been praying that, number one, that as I pray, that you are all protected, because this is warfare. And who's going to bear the brunt of that? It's going to be us. Mm-hmm. I pray for my family, my entire family, the community around us. Then I pray for those folks there that, and so I'm going to need some guidance. Maybe yeah. You could hit on this.
Yeah, we're going to need okay. to pass the mic to somebody. Okay. But
But
thank you. That's very powerful. And we need prayer more than anything. So,
yes. And I thought, what if all these Reformed Muslims filled all these chairs? So I call you to join me with that.
Amen. Thank you, Stephanie. Yeah. And I think, they might not fill these chairs, but they're definitely out there. So we got to pray that God gets a hold of them. Do we have a couple other people? Pat?
Some of you may know that I've recently moved and started a new journey in my life. And I live at a retirement community now. And I think God really put me there for a purpose, because there are a lot of people there that don't know about Jesus. And they have a Bible study, but it really isn't a Bible study. They just listen to a taped recording of a service. And I really want to get something started within my little community, because I have two ladies at my table that I love very much. All of them I love very much. And they don't know the Lord, and they even go as far as to reject the Lord. So if you'll all pray with me and help me, I hope that Jesus can use me to bring the Lord to people in my community now. It's
praise the Lord.
It's a new opportunity.
Wait, do you mind sharing their first names?
My name?
No, your
first name. Well, one's name is Sue, and one's name is, oh my gosh, my brother.
God knows.
Okay.
We're going to pray for Sue and the other lady.
Yes, I'm so sorry.
No,
Shirley.
It's fine. Shirley. Lord Jesus, we come to you. Thank you so much that Pat has a heart for Sue and Shirley, Lord. And we only you know where they are with you. Lord, please minister to them. Use Pat. I'm so encouraged that Pat is seeing an opportunity where she is to reach these people. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to work a miracle through Pat and protect her, Lord. And thank you that Stephanie and others are going to be praying as people are making disciples, because we are on the front lines, but that's where we should be. Just like Anne went into the prison. Yes. We need to be following you no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Anybody else? Sunny?
During this series, I just felt really convicted because we always have those questions afterwards to go deeper. And Pastor David has always said, you know, get into your own small group. And I always took the questions home and thought, well, I guess I'm doing it by myself, because I didn't have a small group. And so I just started thinking, well, if I'm by myself, then maybe there's other people that are by themselves, you know. And as a single, I reached out to Gary and we talked about it and really felt led to start a singles Bible study. So we've been doing that for a few weeks now, meeting every other Monday, the second and fourth Mondays of the month, and I'm getting to know Linda better and Mary better and Gary better, and we're able to dive deeper, and hopefully it grows, but it's something that we've put up to the Lord, and we'll see where he takes it. But that's how
Amen.
I've changed and started to try and disciple others.
So God used the series to put that on your heart. Praise God.
I was going to join you, but my wife said no. sorry.
Thanks. Anyone? One last one?
Okay. When I became a believer, my brother discipled me, and every week we got together one-on-one, and I love that. I love that, and it is a time commitment, and I'm guilty of not doing that as much as I would like to do. I've done it in the broader sense with Bible study. But I love the concept of it. And while he's been doing this training every week, I'm aware of how he's talking to it doesn't take much, man. He listens to any word, and he's on it with Jesus, right? He's like, any conversation he can have, he's talking about people about Jesus. So, and I've always done that in my salon and my chair and everything. And sometimes I think, you know, you got to start with that and see how God opens up the door. And it just always has to be on your mind, has to be part of, and not be embarrassed about it, not feel like, oh my gosh, these people are gonna think I'm stupid or whatever they think, you know, I don't care. But anyway, but the one thing I have to say, you never know how God's gonna use that seed. You never know Amen. How your one comment to someone years later could disciple them, even though you haven't gotten together with them. Because I had a hairdresser friend that I, when I moved here in the 80s, I assisted him. I said to him once, because I was going to Coast Hills Community Church, or South Coast Community Church, I mean, and I said, you should check out that church. It's a really great church. Didn't ever know he went. Didn't know he even remembered me. Fast forward 40 years. I go back to see him because my other hairdresser moved. I'm thinking he's not going to remember me. And he says, the first thing he says to me is, I was talking about you 2 weeks ago. I'm like, what? I mean, I was like not seen there at all. I was the new little assistant off the bumpkin truck from Illinois. And anyway, he said, do you remember when you invited me to church? I go, I don't. He goes, I started going and I haven't stopped since. And he was just talking about the Lord the whole time. So anyway, you never know what little thing amen. God's going to take and
put. Amen. On that, yes, thank you so much. And that's the key, right? We don't know. We're just available. So we're going to pray, and then on that note, we'll end. But I just want to pray over you. Stephanie, thank you for reminding us the power of prayer. We need to be praying. So I want to pray over you, and I want to pray, Lord, first of all, we have the Holy Spirit. But does the Holy Spirit have us? And I pray, Lord, if there's anything, and that could include fear or doubt, anything in our heart, Lord, you're bigger than that. You're bigger than that. You told your disciples, don't worry about what to say. The Holy Spirit will give you the words. Thank you so much. I pray over each person today, and the ones that are watching online and maybe couldn't be here today because they're out of town. Lord, I pray that the gate would not just be a church that waits for people to show up to a building. We would definitely branch out. We'd be the branch, finding green shoots, persons of peace, people who are open, and then letting the Holy Spirit work. It's not our job to convert. That's your job. It's our job to converse. Use us, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.